It's a very small word. I thought we were allowed small words.
But what I think is the situation is that though on the whole they ignore the small words, when you emphasise it like that and make a great show of it and go or very quickly, I think he's entirely justified in challenging and gaining a point, and the subject of package deals and 28 seconds left starting now.
Including my admission to Flemington Racecourse were three beautiful tickets to go and have dining food. It's a funny way to put it, but I was having sea view champagne at the time. It maybe get rather squiffy. They call it that there, though it was sparkling wine in truth, but this method champagne was. One of the things about a package deal, it is wonderfully economical. That's the way I specify it like that.
Tim Rice had challenged again.
There was definite hesitation there. He was getting
caught up. Well, I didn't understand a word of what he was talking about. As far as I was going, he kept going a lot of rubbish, but I mean...
No, I thought it was a very well-thought-out speech. I thought he was talking a lot of sense, but he did hesitate.
I didn't hear him hesitate.
No, towards the end. Well, you've just admitted you didn't hear anything he was saying.
So. I heard it, but I still referred to it as a lot of rubbish, actually. But anyway, no, I don't think he actually hesitated, so I'll be generous to him on this occasion. I might not be on the next, and keep leave the subject with him. A point for that, of course. 7 seconds, Derek, on package deals, starting now.
The Barrier Reef does present some splendid package deal.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
I could understand what he said.
So what we do there is give Clement Freud a bonus point because we enjoy the challenge, but unfortunately it was not within the rules of the Just a Minute, so Derek keeps the subject with 5 seconds to go, starting now.
Of course, you could go to Mallorca and there to the largest town on that island, which is named Palmer.
Anne Ling charmingly, as always, blows the whistle when the 60 seconds are up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point, and it was on this occasion Derek Nimmo, and it doesn't need me to tell you that he's in the lead at the end of that round. We now go to the second round, and it is Tim Rice. Tim, would you take the subject of Greek gods and tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Greek gods have been famous for years and centuries in times past. There are distinguished ones that we all know and love, such as Hermes, the winged messenger. In Rome, he was known as Mercury. And incidentally, this is totally relevant, a small planet is named after both these gentlemen, who are in fact the same person, because that planet I mentioned...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Two planets.
There are two planets, yes. You shouldn't have deviated onto the planets because you managed to trip yourself out in a different way. So Derek got in with the correct challenge. He has 37 seconds to tell us something about Greek gods, starting now.
I particularly like Dionysius, the god of wine, which is Bacchus indeed, within the Roman pantheon.
Jimmy Mulville challenged.
That was definitely hesitation.
You don't need to tell me, Jimmy. It's lovely to have you on the show for the first time, and lovely to hear your voice for the first time on the show, but it's...
It's nice to hear your voice as well, Nicholas, but not for the first time on the show.
I don't say very much in any show, but it was definitely hesitation, Jimmy. So you have now 31 seconds to take over the subject of Greek gods, starting now.
My favourite Greek god has to be Poseidon, the god of the oceans, because for my money, he is the wettest god of all the Greek... It was a good try, wasn't it? It wasn't bad. First effort. No, please. I don't want your sympathy.
We have... It wasn't, actually, Jimmy. It was warmth. I can tell from looking at there, a lovely, warm audience. They want to encourage you. But you did very well with your first attempt. But Clement Freud got in, and he has 20 seconds to tell us something about Greek gods, starting now.
The reason why I interrupted was because there was hesitation. Having said that, my favourite Greek god is Pan, P-A-N. I don't know a tremendous amount about him, but knowing so little about other Greek gods persuades me that this...
Tim Rice has challenged.
I think this is a very dishonest thesis he's putting forward.
I mean, it may be dishonest.
Theseus wasn't a Greek god.
Well said, Jimmy.
I mean, he said he knew nothing about Pan.
It doesn't matter. You might have a subject you know nothing about, but within just a minute, you've got to keep going and say something on that subject. Clement gets another point, a wrong challenge there, and he keeps the subject 4 seconds on Greek gods, starting now.
Adonis is someone for whom I have a great deal of time. There seems...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Hesitation.
Oh, come on. no, pause I don't think between it quite two was. Words.
Well tried, Derek, but you didn't achieve it, but I saw your tactics. There's only half a second to go. I'm going to award the benefit of the doubt to Clement Freud and tell him half a second on Greek gods, starting now.
Athens.
Right, so at the end of that round, Clement Freud has taken the lead ahead of Derek Nimmo, and Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Madeira. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Madeira was discovered in the beginning of the 15th century and made Portugal the very first colonial power, because a man whose name I forget, but he had a squint.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Deviation, it wasn't the first colonial power. Rome had colonies centuries before, it wasn't the first colonial power.
Not true.
No, I agree with Derek. I mean, it wasn't the first. Portugal wasn't certainly the first colonial power. I mean, Rome with its colonies and Athens.
What colonies?
What? In Africa,
Hong Kong.
Great. This is
absolute.
Do you not call when Julius Caesar landed here in 55 BC? Didn't he turn Britain into a colony?
What? There was a war.
Yeah, but they colonized the country, didn't they?
Well, you should know
anybody
this because you were here, obviously.
Anybody in this historical discussion? Anyway, I'm going to agree with Derek on this one and tell him you have 50 seconds, Derek Nimmo, on Madeira starting now.
The trouble with Madeira is that so much of the flora and fauna is disappearing because of development. Luckily, in the botanical gardens in Melbourne, they've put a fine, splendid part of Madeira, and lots of the plants have been rehabilitated.
Jimmy Mulver, chance.
That was a hint of a hesitation. I know when you... I'm quite new at the game, but that was a little bit of a hesitation, wasn't it?
It was a hint of a hesitation, but
do you
not
think so?
Quite a hesitation.
Oh, right, okay. I'll just shut up then.
36 seconds, still with you, Derek, on Madeira, starting now.
I'd like a glass of Madeira, my dear, was a very popular request in the last century. Not so many people...
Clement Freud challenged.
This century.
Yes, I think the number first saw the light of day in this century, so I'm with Clement Freud on that one, and there are 28 seconds on Madeira with you, Clement, starting now.
The four different kinds of Madeira wine which they exported are called...
Tim Rice challenged.
There was a huge gap there. You could have driven...
There was not a huge gap. Don't be so... We'll never get the show going if we address minuscule hesitations as that. Clement, you have the benefit of my doubt and 23 seconds to continue on Madeira starting now.
The benefit of your doubt
yes.
is hardly worth having. Manzi, Buell, Tarantis are pretty popular kinds. Sercial is probably...
Tim Rice, Chant.
Repetition of kinds.
Yes, the different kinds of Madeira wine and different kinds came out there. Don't look so crestfallen, Clement. It's a
one
clever way
kind
you have of trying
one
to,
was kind and
to
one
throw
was kind.
Doubt into my mind. One was what?
Into what?
You must admit, I am a sport the way I throw myself open to these insults. Tim Rice, you have 11 seconds on Madeira starting now.
I know very little about Madeira, but it has already...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
He's already made the point. If you don't know anything about it, you shouldn't talk about it. but he pressed his point long and hard.
And very true, but I lost the point. I was overruled.
That's right. Derek, he did make that point, and I enjoyed the challenge, so I'm going to give you a bonus point for that. But we have established that you still have to keep going if you don't know about it. And so... Tim also gets a point for being interrupted. 8 seconds on Madeira, starting now.
I will remember a night back.
That was a glottal stop.
Yes, which we will give you for hesitation, Jimmy. Well done.
Oh, sorry, yes, hesitation. Yes.
And 6 seconds for you to tell us something about Madeira, starting now.
I've never actually drunk Madeira, but my favourite drink is port. But talking of Madeira, I would like to go there probably...
So Jimmy Melville was speaking then as the whistle went, gained that all-important extra point. And at the end of that round, Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud, our two longest players of the game, are in the lead. And Tim Rice and Jimmy Melville are equal in second place. Jimmy, it is your turn to begin. The subject is poltergeists. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
The word poltergeist comes from the German poltergeist, meaning polter, meaning up... I said meaning twice.
Yes, Tim, you challenged.
Yes, repetition, I'm afraid.
Yes. 56 seconds for you, Tim, on poltergeist, starting now.
My experience of these phenomena is limited, but I understand that poltergeists are an occasion when strange things fly across the room for no apparent reason. But we all know there must be some cause of this strange occurrence.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Two strangers.
Two strangers, I'm afraid, Tim. So Clement has the subject and 41 seconds on poltergeists, starting now.
Polter, I suppose, means noise, whereas geist is a ghost.
And Derek Nimmo challenge.
Well, he just stopped, didn't he?
He did. Yes, I did get the impression he was waiting for a round of applause for his erudition. Derek, I agree with you. 35 seconds on poltergeist, starting now.
What?
Clement Freud's famous.
He didn't start.
He did. Oh, outrageous, aren't they? Derek, I disagree. Carry on. 34 seconds on poltergeist, starting
now. In Sanford Peveril, there was a famous haunting. A disconnected hand was seen to grab hold of a Greek Bible and throw it across the room. No explanation has ever been given for this. It went on for some 3 years. Not only that, poltergeist wrecked the lives of those poor people in Devon at that period. And it is a state of tremendous misery in which they found themselves. But no explanation could possibly begin, although the priest was
Clement
brought in.
Freud,
what's
the matter
now?
That's two explanations which weren't given.
There was an explanation. There was an explanation right at the beginning of your speech, and another one at the towards the end, leaving 8 seconds for Clement Freud to talk on poltergeists, starting now.
Last Christmas, I was given a chocolate poltergeist by one of my children, and it was the most delicious confection which I've eaten for many...
So at the end of that round, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, and he's now 1 point ahead of Derek Nimmo in the lead. And Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is footlights. You'll tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now.
Sadly, footlights have disappeared mainly from the theatre, because now is the time of my life when I would really welcome footlights to return. The light comes from beneath and shines up on the face and takes away all the wrinkles and bags and lines which seem to have accumulated with the passing years. Footlights were always a great comfort because you knew, if you were blind like I am, where the front of the stage was. The Cambridge footlights, of course, are a tremendously successful theatrical arrangement brought to people like Peter Cook and Jonathan Miller, Alan Bennett, and all...
Jimmy Mulville challenged.
Alan Bennett went to Oxford, deviation.
Yeah, he wasn't in the Cambridge footlights. He was being on the fringe with the other two.
Yes, I know.
Well,
I
was just saying that for the sake of the audience and the listeners around the world
like
who like to get all their facts and information otherwise
they
write
like,
to. People like Alan Bennett.
Right, yeah. What's that?
I don't know why I'm supporting Derek, but he did say people like Alan Bennett.
I think...
I like Alan Bennett.
Yeah. So do I. I like Alan Bennett. I like Tony Bennett as well, but yeah, I mean... Yeah.
I like Cyril Bennett, and but nobody knows who he is. Jimmy, I agree with your challenge, and 26 seconds for you to talk on footlights, starting now.
The footlights hold fond memories for me, because I was actually in the club in 1977 when I had the honor to come.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
That was right. 7-7. No, it wasn't right.
No.
Too clever, too clever. I thought.
Too clever by heart. And the first time you played the game as well.
Yeah.
Bit rough, I thought, yes.
I thought so.
Yes. So, Jimmy, you have another point for a rough challenge. And 21 seconds to continue on footlights, starting now.
In those days, of course, we lived in the shadow of the greats. John Cleese, Tim Brooke Taylor, Peter Cook, not, as it happens, Alan Bennett. In fact, we never mentioned that particular gentleman in the course of my stay at that particular university.
Tim Rice challenge.
Two particular.
Sorry. I beg your pardon.
It's a double act over there now they've got going.
So that was the poltergeist speaking.
The poltergeist.
There were two particulars.
There were, yes. So what action that happens there, of course, they all press their buzzer if they hear what's gone wrong, but Tim's light comes on first in front of me, and so Tim gets the challenge, and he gets it correctly, and 7 seconds for him to take over footlights, starting now.
Gordon Bennett was one of my favourite actors in my youth. I well remember this dynamic, sparkling star, his charisma shone.
So So, Tim Rice got the extra point, speaking as the whistle was blown. He's equal with Jimmy Mulville in third place, a little way behind Derek Nimmo, behind Clement Freud, who's still out in the lead, 1 point ahead. Tim Rice, your turn to begin. The subject, Things That Amaze. That is the title of the subject, and will you try and talk on it in this game, starting now?
I see trees of green, red roses too. They make me think of all those wonderful things that stagger you as you walk along life's thorny path. Yes, Louis Armstrong captured the feeling very well in that memorable hit record on HMV Pop 1215.
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition.
What of?
One.
No, no, no. That's one word. 1215 is...
No, that's one number, it's not one word. And you use the four words 1215. I'm sorry, I've got to be tough on this one, Tim.
You certainly are.
It's very difficult.
Just see what happens if you say BBC.
So, Clement, you have a correct challenge. Things That Amaze, and 42 seconds are left, starting now.
Things That Amaze Me is that 42 seconds are left for a subject about which I'm so unprepared to spend more than...
Jimmy Mulville, you challenged. What was your challenge?
Quick as a flash. Hesitation, I think.
Yes, hesitation will do. That's all right.
Tentatively, I'll say that.
Our listeners like to know sometimes why there's an unexpected laugh from the audience. It was because Clement Freud is a great sport at playing the game, except when he speaks to me. And he actually nudged Jimmy Mulville as he paused so that he would come in and have a chance of talking on Things That Amaze.
Thanks, Clement. You're a pal.
32 seconds are left, starting now.
Nothing really amazes me. As I walk through, as Tim said, life's thorny path, I am never amazed by the sort of things that happen. Only the other day, I saw a nun mug a punk. Now, that you would think might amaze some people, but it didn't amaze me. Not an eyelid did I bat, not a breath did I draw. I just walked on by and got my Evening Standard. Therein did I read many amazing things, and yet my heart did not palpitate, I did not gasp, I did not shudder. I think today we are living in an age which has nothing amazing at all happening. Absolutely anything at all could occur, and it would not amaze me. Oh, no, sir. I think that in this day and age, we are living, and I think you're nodding your heads, yes, I can see that, that nothing at all would amaze anybody. Let's face it.
Jimmy, I have to tell you, I was being very wicked then as well, because the others were being rather wicked and let you go on. They put their buzzers down.
Thank you.
I let the clock go on for another 15 seconds past.
Well, you're on my Christmas card list then, Nicholas.
But you do get you get a point for actually speaking as the whistle went. And another point for that round of applause you got having gone the extra 15 seconds. So we give you a bonus there. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject, 13. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
It's an unusual number in that when you multiply 13, 26, 39, 52, 65, 78, 91, 104, there is no repetition, not a single person can say that.
Tim Rice, challenge.
Long hesitation.
No, he was actually playing to the audience. They were laughing. It was very difficult to come through that laughter. I think that was a little bit unjust because he did so well and the audience enjoyed it. So we have to give him the benefit of the doubt there, Tim, and allow him to continue with 42 seconds on 13, starting now.
It is considered a very unlucky number, and I'm not sure why. It may have been...
Tim Rice, challenge.
Repetition of number.
Yes, because you did mention number before. Right at the beginning. So, Tim, well listened. You've got him there with 37 seconds left. 13 starting now.
There are many reasons given for the origin of the tradition that 13 is an unlucky number, but I believe the one that is accurate is the religious one, viz. The Last Supper, which took place at the very end of our Lord's life. 12 people...
Jimmy Mulville, challenge.
didn't actually take place at the very end of our Lord's life, did it?
Jimmy, I'm with you, and I...
Thank you, Nicholas.
Yes,
I've always thought that.
Fine, yes. And I was so mean to you last time. I'm not going to be mean on this occasion. You have 23 seconds to talk on 13, starting now.
Well, the number 13 is very important to me because it's in fact the number of my... I have a stammer, actually. I think they're picking it up.
And the other man who has a stutter as well challenged you, and he got him with 19 seconds to tell us something about 13, Derek, starting...
Some people find it a very lucky number. Robinson Hare had 13 letters in his name, which persuaded him to back the horse owned by Tom Walls in the Derby called April the 5th, which also had 15 numbers.
Tim Rice has challenged.
Well, he said 15. Deviation. He said that he had 13 letters in his name, Robertson
yes,
Hare.
Yes.
Therefore, he backed a horse which also had 15 letters in his name. I'm deeply confused.
Well, I think actually what was happening was that Robertson Hare was deviating and not Derek Nimmo on that occasion. Derek, you have 8 seconds to continue with 13, starting now.
There were 12 Greek gods and the same number of Roman ones.
Repetition of number.
Yes, but you did have number twice before, Derek. So Clements got in there. Another point to him. 3 seconds from 13, Clements, starting now.
When a horse has 13 on its saddle cloth, it is surprising how...
Well, Clement Roy was speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point, and he has increased his lead at the end of that round. I can tell you, if anybody's interested, actually 13. In fact, Friday the 13th is my very lucky day. Something nice always happens. In fact, the nicest thing of all was that my daughter was born on Friday the 13th. And since then, it's always been my lucky day. I'm at the moment arranging her wedding reception, so that's going to be another lucky day as well. Right, let's continue with just a minute. You want to hear about my private life, and there's only one person.
No, please,
carry on.
I've heard this programme in Beijing. Can you imagine listening to about Nicholas Parsons' wedding reception? This is not a matter of moment.
I don't know. I get letters.
It's rather amazing. He's going to pay for it. That's a surprising one. It'll be the very first DYO wedding, I think.
I get some offers from Beijing. You never know. We might be able to hold it over there. Jimmy, it is your turn to begin. The subject is other drivers. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Cabbies are my favourite other drivers. I love just sitting in the back of taxis and hearing all the invaluable information they have to impart. Fred Housko, of course, would be a great catch because you could become an expert on the novels of Anthony Trollope and also get to your destination on time. I live south of the River Thames, which is traditionally difficult to get to by taxi, although I have found...
Tim Rice has challenged.
Well, that's not true.
I do live south of the river.
Yes, but if you live even further south, it's very easy to get to south of the river.
It's not difficult to get to south of the river. It might
you
take
try.
A time.
You go out and try it now.
Well, it depends where you start from.
If you start from Birmingham, it's very, very difficult to get to go south of the river. This is what I'm talking about.
No, it's not difficult. It just takes a long time.
You didn't wait for the end of my story.
Tim, I agree with your challenge, and you have 40 seconds to talk on other drivers starting now.
It's always the other driver's fault. It's the other driver that is slow, careless, reckless, fast, or any one of a number of other disastrous habits which can make a safe, reliable, intelligent, thoughtful driver like me go through hell on every single journey, be it up the M1... the A2, the B3.
Jimmy Marvel's challenge.
You can't got the M1 and the A2. That's deviation.
Not at the same time.
That is difficult to do. No. Unlike going south of the river, obviously.
But he can go up them at separate times of the day.
The A2 is down to Kent. I do that regularly. The M1 up to Birmingham. Therefore, both...
So what is your
challenge? What about the M25, which links them? You didn't mention that, you see.
What is your challenge? Deviation?
Yes.
It's wrong.
Thank you. Just checking.
So, Tim, you have the subject still of other drivers, and 16 seconds are left, starting now.
The other drivers I admire most are those who are at the wheel of machines that I would never dream of mounting, let alone engaging gear in, viz. Tractors, which I am...
Jimmy Mulville, challenge.
He's talking gibberish now, isn't he?
He's really getting viz, yes. I think, Jimmy, whatever it was, I don't think it made a lot of sense, so I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Are you
illiterate? Also, this is the last, going to be the last round, I'm afraid. And I think, Jimmy, it's the first time on the show. I think we should hear from him at the end of the show.
Don't patronise me.
I'm not patronising you, just because you've shown so much talent on the show, I thought we should let you finish in a blaze of glory.
And now you're lying.
There we are. So you have 5 seconds to blaze on other drivers. And you did start with the subject, so start now.
Other drivers that really get up my nose are nuns who drive Volvos. Don't ask...
Well, Jimmy Melville was speaking as the whistle went and did gain that extra point. Let me now give you the final score, and let it be said right away, I patronise no one on this show. It is far too tough the way they all play the game. There's no quarter given, as those regular listeners will recognise. Tim Rice finished in fourth place, and then came Jimmy Melville, first time on, a great achievement, I think. Then came just 1 point ahead only, Derek Nimmo, but 2 points ahead, Clement Freud, so we give him the judgment this week of saying he is our winner. This edition of Just a Minute. Only remains for to say on behalf of our four excellent panellists, Tim Rice, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud and Jimmy Melville, and also Anne Ling, who's kept the score so well and also blown the whistle so admirably. Also our producer, Edward Taylor, and myself, Nicholas Parsons. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for coming to the studio. We hope you'll all be with us at the same time when we play Just a Minute. Until then, goodbye.